Amen. To Timothy, the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to his dear son in the faith, Timothy. Chapter 3. Ooh, here we go. Verse 1. Now, this is a marathon for me, man. I'm pushing it now. As I'm teaching this, I've been teaching for almost 7 straight hours. And I don't say that to brag. I'm just saying that I'm just so moved in this thing. I just can't stop, despite the infirmity. And I say this, I don't feel like I'm doing anything special. It's I feel like I'm compelled to. And why do I feel almost naughty, staying up extra late, doing that which I love, you know? Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. I think I'm going to make a song out of that little section there. This know also that the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Perilous, what does perilous mean? Difficult. Dangerous. Through the idea of reducing strength. That's the word it comes from, like in the sense of something that takes the strength right out of you. Times. And what is the strength? You know, I can think of how many. Everyone thinks we're in the last days. Certainly these are perilous times. At least I think in our country. We are in a perilous time. The things are out there in the world that take the strength right out of you. The things that steal away the strength of the man of God are the overflow. A friend of mine always says, we have to in this country actually fight food. Because... you know, there's so abundance of food. Notice again, it doesn't say, perilous times shall come. People are going to be starving. People are going to be, losing their houses. Their cars are going to need repair. They're going to need new shoes. And their clothes are going to be 6 months or more out of style. That's not peril. That's the peril, but in a sense, those are the things that seduce people. Those are the things that take away their strength. Oh, I gotta be in style, and I gotta be fed, and I've gotta be clothed, and I gotta be driving around in something. I gotta be housed in a house that's nice, with cable and other amenities. It's got to be vacation time. All to rob. To suck strength. Why? Because, you're entangled. Remember, it says, no man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this world. We get all entangled with the world. Our strength to fight is taken. The times become perilous. We become weak. Men are lovers of their own selves. And in some sense, this is in all ages. But the last days would be characterized by increasing amounts of this. Certainly, in the fall of any society, when the moral decay is in, all these elements start to really manifest themselves. Yeah, our country's in decay. And they've been very sinful times. So I can only judge my time. I remember saying, well, this is the worst time it's ever been. I don't know. I've read of some pretty awful times in the past, you know. Do I think we're in the last days? Nope. I do not. But I see a lot of this even now. Okay? I see it all. Imagine how much more it's going to be. But this is very instructive. They love others of themselves. Why, it's even a virtue. Love yourself. You've got to love yourself before you love anyone else. I remember that being taught me. You've got to love yourself. No man has yet hated his own flesh, right? He nourishes it and cherishes it. That's even in the word. Phil autes, fond of self, selfish. They're selfish. The most important thing to them is themselves. What about me? What about mine? Not sacrificing for other people. A lot of foolish and selfish lusts out there. Covetous. Covetous means, fond of silver, literally. Oh, the love of money, the root of all evil. You can get to almost any evil from loving money, see. Because evil has lots of roots, I tell you. The love of money, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Boasters, braggarts. I'll tell you what I can do and what I'll do for this country. Or what I'll do in this church. Or what I'll do for this town. Or just, it's very tempting to bask in your own glory. Here's what I do, man. I'll tell you about me, man. I've done this. Talking yourself up. Hey, one hand it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, okay? There's a boasting that is done in Christ that is in righteousness. Again, people who are void of the Spirit can't understand these things. So they look at us and just say, oh, those proud people, Paul. Paul's always boasting of himself. I mean, Paul the Apostle. I'm an apostle. I exalt my office. I am chosen of God by the will of God, an apostle. It was true. So it's not, But he also boasted his infirmities. He gloried in them. I'm weak in here, and that's what makes God strong in me. Because he has to lift me up. Carry me. I used to be this kind of a bragger. I can smoke a quarter ounce of marijuana in a single day. I can drink a fifth of whiskey in a single evening and put down a 40, Magnum. Just to relax, two 40 ounces of malt liquor. That's, start to feel it. I can put away a case of beer. Brag. All the ways in which men brag. Oh, I'm so good at nothing. All the things in which they, the vanities in which they boast themselves,
I'm the best. I'm the greatest that ever was. I'm the champion. All the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Oh, they break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. That's going to be from Habakkuk. They are proud. Blasphemers. Oh, blasphemy is literally means to speak. That's another Greek word. It's like blasphemos, you know. We get the word right out of the Greek. It means to speak evil. Not just any evil. Usually it means in pertaining to God. Christ can't make you perfect. Christ won't make you perfect. He doesn't intend to make you perfect. Blasphemy. Jesus Christ died so that you could go to heaven. And we're all going to sin, but you just do your best. Blasphemy. I'm a Christian. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. To name Christ on yourself. Still yet a sinner. To me, that's fearful. I want Christ's name to be named on me because he has made me like him. And to the extent which I am not like him, I am... I don't know exactly how to describe it. I guess I'm very slow to boast of myself in anything except for that which God has given me, and I know is of him. Unthankful. Thank you, Lord. So even God gives them life, they're not thankful. Unholy. This is not right. Without right is literally what unholy is here. Oh, well, wait. It's impossible for us to be holy, right? I mean, except that we believe in Jesus and he just says, you're holy, even if you're not. Again, to the degree which we slide further and further down this wicked path, disobedient to parents. Oh boy, do I see a lot of that. Oh man, oh man. I guess I blame parents a lot because it's sort of like, they don't demand obedience, right? But it's also disgusting. And it's not like the children are blameless. They should obey their parents. Yeah? Not thankful for the things given to them. Without natural affection. Without libation, which means it's like a... In the sense, well, a libation would be something, a drink that was made in like for a truce, you know, like they would drink over it. It means like mutual appeasement. Oh, I'm sorry, that's truce breakers. Without natural affection. Boy, how did I mess that up, right? But that's pretty much the proper translation of that, I think. That was 132. Now, Paul always goes through these litanies of the sinful things that people do, right? Without natural affection. Astorgos. Orgos. Yeah. Orgos is like, orge is like passion and so on and so forth. So yes, without the natural passion, so the natural affection, not having that. This used to trouble me for a long time because I thought I have, because of the way I feel towards certain relatives who are very ungodly. And as I was raised, whatever natural affection I had for them kind of dissipated because of their character. It was so anathema to me. You know, it was so rejected of God. Whereas I am not without natural affection. That means without natural affection. I mean, you don't have affection for your mother, your father, your children, your wife. You know, I say I have a lot of natural affection for those, for the people in my life. And whatever loss I may have had of love for some people, and I mean of affectionate love, you know what I mean? Not the love, I mean, I still love them the way Christ has commanded, that we should love our enemies, we should feed them, clothe them. And I also want what's good for them. I do. As I do for all men, though. But I don't hold any, they don't have like a special place in my heart. Because they've, by their wicked deeds, have corrupted and killed the feelings that I once had. That I may have had at some time. But I see, it's like, I'm a very affectionate person. I'm not saying that to, you know, but what I'm saying is, without natural affection means you don't have any natural affection. Doesn't mean necessarily, you know, someone you who by nature you should be affectionate for, let's say if it was lost, it doesn't mean you're without natural affection. I don't want you to enter into condemnation because of some ungodly person for whom it is, affection is not something you can feel. Because again, love is not a choice. I mean, there is a love that is a choice, you know? The love of your enemy. But also that, in a sense, also has to be by the Spirit, because it's like you could say you love them and do the deeds of loving, but do you really want what's good for them? Do you really want them to turn, or do you, I don't want them to turn, I want them to burn in hell! Quote unquote, you know. Is that what you really want for someone? Or do you really want good for them? You really desire to see them turn. I'd love to see that person turn. I would. But as that relationship of the past, it cannot be. It would have to be remade in a new thing in Christ. It just kind of goes back to my own damaged beginnings, I guess, the way I look at these, some of that, you know. I just consider, because I go through these lists and I think, you know, how does my righteousness stand up against this? Truce breakers, I already kind of went into the definition of that, but it means truce breakers. They don't hold to their truce. They don't keep their word. False accusers is literally diabolos, slanderers, devils. You know, a devil is someone who is slanders people. That's the meaning of the word devil. A slanderer. A calumniator. Which means, you know, stirring up evil accusations against someone. False accuser. Okay, yeah, diabolos. Incontinent. Which means powerless, in a sense, without self-control. I just have to have another rib. I just gotta have that third burger. That was me, man. One hamburger, two hamburgers. I mean, the big ones you make at home, you know. And it's like, oh, I just wish I could have a third one. Oh, just go ahead and eat a third one, Paul. Have a third one. No, it's just one is enough. Lord has taught me to be, thank God, he's taught me self-control in the way I deal with food. I can control myself. Not because I'm great, but because God has given me this gift of late. Past mother so. When I say the fruit of this is the pounds fall off. You know? 20 years of excess. Lifetime of excess, really. When I was young, I wasn't fat because I was growing and I was very active. And no matter how much I ate, I never seemed to get very fat or anywhere near fat. And I was blessed in that I had a that kind of metabolism. I know other kids, they ate less than I did, and they struggled with weight, and they were just as active. Me, I could eat whatever I want, never got fat. Well, then all of a sudden my life changed. I became sedentary. I started smoking pot, drinking beer, sitting around a lot. All of a sudden the pounds started to pile on. over the course of 15 or so years, I put on something like 80 pounds in 15 years, which is not a lot per year. But, there were years where I put on a lot, and there were years where I was kind of stagnant, you know? The Lord has taught me now moderation. All right. Fierce. Savage. You know. It's pretty, so, you know, I think about like road rage. It makes me think, or the way people sometimes deal with each other. It's like the nastiness, the wickedness with people deal with each other. That's out there. It's always been there. And men have been fierce. Men have been incontinent for all ages. The last days, perilous times shall come. And I think in a sense, I don't know, is he really even saying that these are, is he saying that this is the sign of the end, or is he saying, hey, men shall be all these things? Like Jesus, he said, hey, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but the end shall not be yet. Men are going to do all these things. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifested unto all men as theirs also was. To me, almost, that's the sign of the last times, when we finally get to make manifest their folly. Because I look in the Revelation, and that's what I see. I see the people of God manifesting the folly of the people of Satan. Even though the world is following after Satan and so on and so forth, at least there's a difference being drawn. At least some are being plucked out of the fire. By the power of God and the word of prophecy which is in their mouth, and the plagues with which they smite the earth. So they're traitors. Men are traitors. We've always been traitors. What does heady mean? Literally it means falling forward, headlong, reckless. Reckless. Yeah, I'll be reckless for the Lord. I mean, there's going to be, in a sense of, you know, just trust in Him, you know, right? But then, there's a recklessness that's not of God. I sometimes think of it, I mean, I've used this word, not thinking of heady, but reckless in the way some men handle the word of God. I'm just kind of reckless about it. Let it mean whatever, you know, they just kind of run through the thing, not considering what they're handling, the gravity. And even some, they handle it, but it's like they twist it and they pervert it and they don't consider it. Like, oh, you know, hey, you know, that's not an appropriate way to use the Word of God. Again, as we're in this pastoral epistle, my mind runs to my former teachers, especially the one already mentioned. I'm not going to go on about it. High-minded. This means to envelop with smoke. That's what that word means, literally, to wrap yourself in smoke. So it's a figurative word. It means to inflate with self-conceit. Blow in smoke, buddy. You're inflated with your self-love, your self-conceit. That's what high-minded is. Oh, yeah, man. It's almost, I was thinking of this like, high-minded, dude, you know. You're living in a delusional world where you've been lifted up beyond your measure. It's a high-mindedness. I'm rich and have need of nothing, and shall see no sorrow. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And people say they love God, but they love their pleasures more. Sorry about the nostrils. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's all kinds of forms of godliness. Oh, what is your form of godliness? Well, my form of godliness is I receive the Lord in my heart. I believe, and that's it. What about the power to walk in righteousness? What about the power to walk in real godliness, to actually have godliness like in the way you behave and the way you walk in this world? And the example you set to them that are without, to them that believe not. What about all that? Well, I don't have that. I exemplify the world in that sense. Yes. Denying the power to be godly. From such turn away. Anyone that preaches that gospel, turn away from them. It's no gospel at all. It's not another gospel. It's just a trash. This is the sort where they creep into houses, lead captive silly women. Actually, literally means little. In the sense of little women, you know, little women. Silly women. Silly little women. Alright, it's not necessarily trying to be degrading to women. I mean, you could say, remember, it's men we're talking about. Who are the type that do all these wicked things. And what it means is these simple people are led astray. They're laden with sins. And they're led away with diverse lusts. So, these creep into houses. And lead them captive. And they creep into the house of God. And draw off disciples to themselves. You know? They creep. Literally, creep is to sink as into a garment. It's just kind of slide in there. They lead them captive. They take them prisoner. To what? To ever increasing ungodliness. You know, that's what it says. Is that that these false doctrines, that what does it do? It just increases to more ungodliness. I still can't believe I went over that verse in chapter 2 about rightly dividing the word of truth. I didn't say much about it. I mean, I guess I kind of always talk about that. Some people think rightly dividing the word means you've got to, like, divide up the word. And the parts you ignore and parts you take heed to. There's some truth in that, I suppose. You know, it's like the law. It's like we understand the law, the Christian law versus the Old Testament law. But they want to chop up even the doctrine of Christ. I don't want to talk about their falseness. I just want to say, concerning that, you know, studying the word is an important thing. Why? So we can display how God has approved us. You know? He can put his stamp on us. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is the form of godliness we need to actually have. Not this false form, which is... See, everyone has some sort of form, which is their kind of godliness. Because, it's what's righteous in their religion. It's like, just have faith. Well, that's their form of godliness. But that doesn't lead to any true godliness, and it denies the power that God gives us to actually obtain those things. And by this preaching, they appeal to people. Because the preaching makes it so easy to fall. Now, even though the way with Christ is also easy, but you see, it's like I was using the analogy of walking a dog, you know, before. You gotta walk with the master. He's gotta lead you about. They just wanna be led about in diverse lusts. They don't really wanna follow the master where he's going. They'd rather just think like, well, I can just believe in God and not go off to the battle. I mean, I'm gonna be a soldier, but I'm not gonna please my general. I'm going to go entangle myself with the affairs of this world. I'm going to go be led away with diverse lusts. are going to go be laden with sins. And if you're laden with sins, you cannot take up the sword of faith, or the shield of faith, and the sword of the word, and do battle in the spirit. Not in the macho battle, but in the word that Paul uses for war is always, mostly is agon, which is agony we get. And not machos, war. I mean, I'm going to be over in that kind of a fight. Do you in the flesh. I'm going to beat you up with my mouth. Now, as Jane, they're ever learning, never able to come. They're sitting in church, and they're never able to come to the truth, not the real truth. They think they've got some form of truth, but they're never, always learning, always a student, never a teacher. Because that's what those churches do to you. You never become a teacher in those churches. You got to go away to a special school to be a teacher, and then they'll make you like them, forms of godliness. And they deny the power to be godly, to live godly in Christ Jesus. As Jannes and Jambres, these are those who withstood Moses, the magicians of Pharaoh. These also resist the truth as they resisted Moses. You start telling people, I know, when I speak this gospel, there's resistance to it. They'll say, that can't be so. You think you're perfect? I never said that. Well, you think... Because I'm like, you think you're perfect, don't you? Because you don't... Is there anything more you need in your faith? See, I don't think I'm perfect. Honestly, their doctrine teaches them they are perfect. They don't need anything more. Just believe. Now you're perfect. I actually believe I got to go on to perfection. Well, I need to be perfected. I got to grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. They just believed and they became the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ right then and there. They don't need to do anything more because that's their doctrine. They've already grown into it. They don't have to actually perform the works. They don't have to actually walk on the leash with the Lord. Oh, Lord. I long for the day when they will proceed no further, and their folly shall be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And that day, I know when that day comes, that is when peril of the end will truly come. When they will seek to kill us, we will open our mouths, and fire will devour our enemies. And we will smite the earth with all plagues, as Moses did, and manifest the folly of those who deny godliness, for whom they pervert the grace of God and say, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and righteousness, and that we should live ungodly, unrighteous, unholy lives in this present world, and claim to be complete in Christ Jesus. You're complete in him, and you believe him, you're complete, you're finished, you're perfect. Really, you are. Now, you'll never really be perfect, but God sees you as perfect because you believe in him. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, I love that. That's such a wonderful, simple thing. I can just be perfect right now. I don't actually have to be perfect, but God looks at me as perfect. Oh, how wonderful. Silly. Laden with lusts. See? But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How much more I can go on here? You know my doctrine, he's saying. Hey, you know what I teach? I don't teach that you can have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Power of that, that's, we gotta live godly. You know my purpose. Of great purpose. What do I do this for? The suffering, the longing, the agape, the charity, agape, love, patience, persecutions, or the bird persecution means to flee, to be pursued, to be persecuted. They gotta be out to get you, okay? I don't know anyone out to get me yet. I've gotten warning. I say, watch out for this guy. He's, you know, whatever. I haven't felt it yet. Lord, I don't know if I'm ready. Okay? Just being honest. Afflictions. Something undergone. You know, hardships. Hardships? Not much, you know. For me personally, I'm saying. But Paul, oh Lord, did he have hardships. And oh Lord, did he have persecutions. Manner of life, conduct, you know. Obviously, he's not like these men. God delivered him out of all that. See, but what did God deliver him? What, he raptured him out? He delivered him. And even in the final one, he delivers us from death. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We will rise. It's cool. The day I rise from the dead, I'm going to see and gather with Christ, and there will be Paul and Peter, all the apostles, everyone. Oh, Lord, I don't even know if I can stand with that group. All the men who have suffered and died for the gospel's sake. Our lives have been easy. I think of even the brethren in countries far across this world who suffer persecution in China, Africa, places where, or in the Middle East, Lord, suffer, die, persecuted, afflicted. In America, we think like, oh, I was persecuted. What? Why, well, I was trying to tell people about the Lord and they laughed at me. Oh, I didn't endure such persecution. How pathetic. I mean, that's something you undergone. That might be a very light affliction. It's no fun to get laughed at, right? I'm not going to mock that entirely. I mean, but I'm just saying, it's like, by comparison, it's very small. Excuse me again. Sorry. I'm going to stop. Hopefully tomorrow things will be cleared up when I finish Timothy. But evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. See again, and I see that as like to the end, it's like, yeah, you know, all these evils are already in the world. And I tell you, they've been in the world. Name one of these things. Tell me one that has not been continuing from the time of Paul even till now. Tell me one. Of those things listed from chapters 3, verse 1, you know, they were going on in Paul's time and they've been going on until now. It's like wars and rumors of wars. It's really nothing special. These are the things men do. But what really signifies the end when they can proceed no further. I look forward to that. They're going to seduce. They're going to get worse. They're going to deceive and be deceived because they're deceived too. Believe me, if they knew what they were doing, they would stop it immediately. If God had not withheld the wisdom from the princes of the world, they would not have crucified the Lord. It says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul? Well, not just Paul, even the Lord himself. This is the things I teach you. Whatever I say by the Spirit of God. Because I know some things I might say by permission. Or the Lord just might not put every one of his words in my mouth. But to a certain degree, as you listen to me teach you, you have to have some sort of trust that what I'm saying is of God and of the Lord. But don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord that he's going to lead you and guide you in all things, in all truth. You can hear a man's words, but they've got to be tried and tested. You know? There's a more excellent way. Check to see the things that I say are true. Or you can just keep studying with me because I'm going to go over all the words. Go through the words and see if there's some things come up that prove what I'm saying is not true. So I'm going to go through all the words of the New Testament. See if you can find in any of those words things that contradict the gospel which I'm teaching. I like this. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was raised up. That's me, as a child. I had Bibles. Children's Bibles which I read. Older Bibles which I read from my youth up. Not that I was always really in the faith. And a lot of my faith was learned of traditions of men, you know. And we're all kind of stuck in that, you know. Ultimately, God was my teacher. I had a godly father who imparted into me many things of the truth, the gospel, and made me wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Right? That's what the scriptures do. They make us wise unto salvation. So what I'm trying to fill you with is things that will make you wise and bring salvation according to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, it's good to be instructed in righteousness. Do I beat this to death? But again, one more witness. The scripture is for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine. Let's not just have a form of righteousness, but deny the reality thereof. Little children, no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as Christ the Lord is righteous. So the prophet is made profitable for doctrine. Hey, give heed to the doctrine, for in so doing you shall save yourself and those that hear you. Because doctrine saves. Because the doctrine is the teaching, and the teaching is the gospel. And the gospel is what we is the promises which we have faith in, which give us salvation by the grace of God. That the man of God may be perfect. You can't be perfect. Yes, you must be. The point is that you may be perfect. Oh, you may not. It's not allowed. No being perfect. We're not interested. You know, the gospel isn't for perfect people. No, it's not for perfect people. I mean, I'm a sinner. Well, the purpose Christ came was to make me into a saint. I got to be perfect. Well, I mean, not perfect in every way. Well, I'm not saying that. I was like, perfect what? Complete. Thoroughly furnished into all good works. This is perfection. I got to be perfect in doctrine, in reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. I can be perfect in this instruction. Even if you say, oh, perfect just means complete or fresh. Well, fine, but I have to be, that doesn't take away. If you take too far away from that, you're just a perverter of the gospel. So clear. Paul, the apostle, he's so clear. It's so simple.